The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day, staying warm. I was out last week, and our man Gordon, you see him out at our remotes, and he does a lot of stuff with us with live events. And I saw him down in a Hawks game, and he was like, yo, I got something for you. A listener brought us some stuff, and I got it in the truck. And I was like, okay. And I hadn't thought about it, so Gordon dropped this stuff off. Mike, what is this?
Yeah, man, we have the best listeners out there. You were off, it was a couple Fridays ago. Randy Mack was filling in.
Good Lord.
When I got back from the beach, and I got a gigantic bottle of tequila. You got a nice bottle of bourbon.
Yeah.
And again, I would say we discourage you guys. No, we don't. Keep it coming. But we got the best. We got the best listeners out there. And man, thank you so much. Also, thanks to the guys, and we always like to support local businesses. There's some guys making their own golf gloves on the south side.
Yeah.
Called Mako Skins. That's Mako, like the shark, and SKNZ.
Thank you, guys.
And they brought us a couple of guys. And we can never, I don't know, you guys don't play golf, but you can never have enough of these. So thanks, guys. It's more stocking stuffers for Dukes and Bell. We're not worthy.
No, we're not worthy. Jefferson's Reserve is what he brought, bought
Giddy
me.
Giddy up.
Brought me, should I say.
You like my present for you?
Yeah, man. Thank you. Excellent.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that.
No, it's great.
We traffic in booze on this program.
We really do. I was blown away. Yeah. But thank you guys, man. That's awesome. So big shout out. We want to give some love to those guys. Hey, if you're just tuning in, just joining us, first of all, where you been? Show starts at 2 o'clock. Secondly, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter here in less than 10 minutes. So stay tuned for that. And if you're tuning in, we are spending a lot of time because I feel like this is a big presser. We can't continue to just have these pressers and it's like nonchalant and, oh, well, we'll figure it out.
Get them next year.
We'll get them next year. When are we going to start winning? When are we going to start fixing the things that are wrong? When are we going to be in the playoffs again? Like, these are legitimate questions. And I'm not saying they're not trying at Flowery Branch. I know they are. I know Rob put everything he had into this season. But the coaching mistakes and the clock management gaffes mattered. The personnel that was put on this team, now that we know who can play, who can't, matters. So you evaluate your coaches, Mike, and we got to get some of this stuff corrected. Tomorrow's a big day, man, when Terry Fontenot addresses the media.
You know, and one of the things that I've covered a lot today and the other day about Terry and Raheem is, you know, Terry's been a GM for 4 years. And, you know, his, part of it was, you know, his talent evaluation and the work he did, especially from free agents and everything else down in New Orleans as part of his job, to, you know, Raheem Morris. And Raheem Morris making mistakes. And, guys, you forget, his man has been a head coach. This technically was year five because, you know, Dan Quinn got fired after five games in 2020, but Raheem Morris coached 11 games that year. He coached 3 years in Tampa Bay. He did get screwed by the Glazer family, but the man has been a head coach, and he's been in the NFL, you know, on offense and defense as DC with the Rams. He's got 23 years in the league. So he's got to know, you know, when to hold and when to fold and when you go for it, when you don't. And I will die on that hill. And mostly 99% of the media I saw the night after we lost the game in D.C. to the Commanders agreed that you've got to give your quarterback a better chance, burn the timeout after the Mooney catch. But just real quick, you heard Mark Schlereth on with Andy Randy today, and he was talking about Dan Campbell. And Dan Campbell basically said a couple years ago, I'm going for it. My guys have to know. Third down becomes like second down, fourth down. Don't have a puckered sphincter. We're going to go for it. Well, remember early in the season, Raheem Morris says, go for it, go for it, go for it. All gas, no brakes on fourth down. Then we get up to Minnesota. We're going to punt. So to me, that's going to be your personality, stick with it. I didn't like the inconsistency in some of the fourth down calls, and I thought, you know, that Minnesota game was a big one where you set them up. Remember that, Carl? Right at midfield. And I kind of pressed him on it when we spoke on our weekly visits, and, you know, he kind of had his logic for it. And at the end of the day, you gave up 27 yards. Vikings went right back on the field on it.
I don't know why he didn't go for it, but I also think they didn't trust the quarterback at that point.
Part of it.
I think that was part of it.
Run the ball then if it's short yardage. And trust the part that does work.
That part does work. I agree. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's one of those things where you go, we're going to go for it. So you're going to run play action with Cousins in the shotgun?
Right.
What play action? There was none.
No.
Like that is part of this equation that you have to put into when is it smart to go for it and when am I not going for it? And when you trusted him totally and he's balling, you go for it.
Right. But I say, on the road in Tampa Bay, wrong side, they go for it of the 50.
But he was playing well.
Yeah, Minnesota a few weeks later,
he had his best two games.
But this goes back to it. Set the tone. I've got confidence in you. We can do it. It's almost like it just daisy chains into a failure. That's one of my beefs about it. And I know I'm getting wonkish off into weeds on this, but I mean, if you're going to be that man, you're going to go for it, then freaking go for it.
Yeah.
Against a Vikings team that you know 14 points ain't going to cut it. You're going to have to get some points on the board.
Well, remember, the game was 21-21. I mean, we're right there.
Right. And at that point, it was just one touchdown you had. Minnesota took it right down the field.
It got away from us. Either way, lots to discuss, guys, with you. Right now, let's get to 4th-and-1. Well, the only reason to deny a coach from talking to anybody else means you want to keep him, right? Listen to Jerry Jones before this all went down about what he would tell Mike McCarthy in talking to other teams.
Then I would say, go talk. I really would. Okay. Go talk.
So it sounds like you.
I just let Zeke do that.
Gotcha.
But I don't want anybody here. That's not healthy to have somebody around that wants to be someplace else. Really, it's not.
But then you denied him permission to talk to the Bears. So you say go talk, but Mike, you didn't allow McCarthy to go talk.
Yeah, and why are you keeping McCarthy anyway? I mean, we all know that this season you got to throw it out because once you lost your star quarterback, that's all she wrote. But when he is healthy, the big problem you've had is not getting the most out of him in the playoffs. And some people feel that McCarthy has really pooped the bed in the Dallas, you know, playoff appearances. So I have no idea what Jerry's going to do. He'll talk in circles. He'll go round and round. The Bears. If you're the Bears, are you excited about Mike McCarthy?
No. But
good offensive mind with a young quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, the logic of it is you're going to get your quarterback, your investment certainly with Caleb Williams
so that's
on track.
Right. So that's why you're excited. Right. Then I say no because he hadn't won a Super Bowl in Dallas. But we act as if McCarthy hasn't won. As a matter of fact, he was patting himself on the back. Listen to McCarthy.
I don't like to talk about myself that way, but I'll just be clear. I'm a winner. I know how to win. I've won a championship. I won a championship in this building, and that's who I am. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, you've won one playoff game in Dallas. You're 1-3. You know, I mean, yes, we know your resume, but you have not brought home the bacon. And the loss to Green Bay was kind of inexcusable. You got throttled in that game.
As quarterback got outplayed by Jordan Love, no doubt about it.
That's 23, yeah.
Yeah, what about Mike McDaniel, guys? We go around the NFL and talk about what's going on clearing the air with Tyreek Hill.
I was very direct with him. He was very honest, and it was great terms that we were discussing. Discussed multiple things, including, you know, without wavering, that it's not acceptable to leave a game and won't be tolerated in the future. And he embraced accountability. I wouldn't say there's anything necessarily to fix as much as we had to clear the air in a rough and tumultuous situation.
Okay.
From George Halas and Vince Lombardi to Mike McDaniel.
Is Tyreek Hill with the Dolphins at the start of next season?
Great question. Can he leverage it? I mean, you gave him a freaking raise to start the season. If I'm the Dolphins, go, whoa, 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 whoa. Yes, I get it. First time
What do you do?
You know, Tua got knocked out of the box for 5 games. I get it. Our offense was pedestrian. But no, don't give me this crap. I gave you a raise that you didn't even need. You know, it's basically exactly the same thing that happened to Julio.
Yep.
You had a contract, and we bumped it up just because you were in your bag about Waddle getting more money. Now you want to leave the team? Screw you. You're here.
You said Julio?
Julio!
Julio! Yes, yeah. Yes, we remember that.
Because a wide receiver with an ego is always going to be $1 better than the other one.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
By the way, Turtle, you know how that hurt us? We couldn't spend money to go get other guys.
Turtle is of the opinion, taking you behind the curtain, that we'll be able
and
to
by the way,
figure out this Kirk Cousins cap hit the next 2 years.
I'm taking advantage of the situation. His mic, for whatever reason, is not working. So
now, now he's just getting red in the face and flailing his arms.
He's flustered. But I guarantee when he comes in here for Yeah Man, he's going to drop some. I just know he is. But either way, I'm taking digs at him because he can't speak back.
A lot of folks felt that with Tom Brady's involvement with the Raiders and Antonio Pierce getting fired, again, after he spoke to the media and they fired him, is that Mark Davis might turn intern with Brady as a you know, as an advisor to Bill Belichick. It would cost you $10 million to do that. Diana Rossini goes on Twitter today, and she says, NFL insider, that Bill Belichick has no intentions of leaving Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and I think the Brady thing is a little bit overplayed, too.
I agree.
We act as if Brady is, like, walking through the building going, Mark, follow me. He's a minority owner. I'm not telling you that they won't ask his opinion, but he's not setting up meetings, and he's certainly not going to be the final decision in hiring whomever they hire. Here's the issue with Mark Davis, Mike. They're paying four coaches right now because they've mismanaged this situation. So going even back to Gruden, right, and they couldn't get it right, and they couldn't get it right, and now you Antonio Pierce a year later. So I don't know what his budget is. In the NFL, you can pay a coach whatever you want, but the fact is he's paying off four of the dudes.
He is the 23rd, according to Forbes, richest NFL owner. He makes some good coin with the Raiders. $2.3 billion, they guesstimate Mark Davis's net worth.
All right, well, then he got it.
I saw this article in Sporting News. Well, Mark Davis is one of the rich. $2.3 freaking billion. He can afford that.
He's got it.
You believe me, and the accountants can make that work, okay? That loss can become a net gain. You know how that plays.
You know what's crazy? The other day when the Hawks were playing in L.A. at the Clippers' new arena, the Intuit Dome, and we were talking about Steve Ballmer. Ballmer's worth $200
billion.
Yeah. What did you just say, Mark Davis?
$2.3. The less wealthy NFL owners are the ones who inherited the teams. Their dad or their grandfather did all the work. The Maras, the Rooneys, Davis, obviously his father. So these are the guys, the Brown family, the Bengals. Their dad, Paul, did the work.
You're right.
And so they haven't done anything other than just sit on an NFL team that appreciates every year. That's basically where their worth comes from. Hey, the Broncos and the Chiefs. A lot of folks felt around the league that the Broncos and the Chiefs game came down to the Chiefs not wanting Joe Burrow and the Bengals in the playoffs. And that's why, amongst other reasons, they sat their starters, even though they'd already locked in the number one position. They asked Travis Kelce about that, and it was part of the New Heights, a podcast he does with his brother. I ain't scared of blanking nobody. This is Travis Kelce. I wanted them in the blanket playoffs. I want to slay every dragon one by one, like Mortal Kombat. I don't even like this to be like we play the lowest seed. Just give me the best team. So he's saying that there was nothing like that, but some folks felt that the Bengals, you put them in the tournament, anything can happen.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but handle your business if you're the Bengals. That's not on the Chiefs. That's not their job to make sure that you get into the playoffs. Their job is to make sure they're rested and that they can make a run.
And so, they earn that right.
Absolutely.
They earn that right.
Yeah, I have no issues with them resting. Hey, Rex Ryan, we've been talking about whether or not he's going to land a job, Mike. If he gets the Jets job, what's it mean for Aaron Rodgers?
Clearly, when you have a guy that doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp, and by the way, is your quarterback coming off an injury, I think that's an absolutely ridiculous message you sent to the team. If he comes back, things would be different. If he's back, it ain't going to be the country club, show up whenever the hell you want to show up. That ain't going to happen. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but Coach, Aaron Rodgers heard apparently they were going to move the pyramids. They were taking them down. He had to get to Egypt, Carl.
It was his one chance.
They heard apparently they were, because sometimes you go to Egypt, they take the pyramids out for cleaning.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He was afraid of that.
It was his one shot in life. Either way, that makes me laugh.
There's no way in God's green earth that guy's coaching the Jets next year.
Rex Ryan, he's adamant, Mike. He's the best candidate for the job. I like this Ben Johnson guy. He's nice, but he's not me.
Yeah. Now, again, if Ben's a little squeamish about taking the big pants and becoming a head coach, take a quarter of Rex's ego, give it to Ben Johnson. That's all you need. But Rex has got an ego as big as the great outdoors. He's 8 years now removed from being a head coach.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, he's 5 games under 500 in his career. So
means the Jets will hire him.
Yeah. Now, Tannenbaum.
Oh, 100%.
And I will say this. We looked at it. Mangini did a nice job building the team, which he inherited, which, old butt fumble boy took to the playoffs in the championship 1 year.
Yeah, man. If you're telling me all that about Rex, they're probably going to hire him.
Oh.
All right. We got more to get to. D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to join us next. He covers the Falcons for the AJC at AJC.com. What does he think about where we need to go and what happened? We'll talk to him next. MTV. Okay, sorry. That used to be one of their promos. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're having a good time today. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Chris will come in here and I'm sure complain to me about something. But right now, let's talk to our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D. Led, what's going on, man?
Hey, not too much, Carl and Mike. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Yeah, man. You know, we talk about Steve Holman, long-suffering, you know, play-by-play guy for the Hawks. D-Led, long-suffering reporter for the Falcons. This one is a new one. When we write the story for 2024, it's like you just put it on Cousins' shoulders because everything was flowing, and then all of a sudden he lost his game, and that's it.
Oh, no, it wasn't that simple. Yeah, into my 20th year on the beat, I also covered the most playoff games than anybody, thanks to Mike Smith and Matt Ryan.
Right.
That's true.
But yeah, the kicker, the quarterback falling off the cliff, and then the inability to get the defense elevated to play at a high level into the top 16. You know, that's what you look at. That's the baseline. Get to the top 16 on offense and defense, and then you're going to most likely be a playoff team.
Yeah, D, and do you have any insight? I mean, I know that you've written about the Cousins situation. Mike and I have discussed it ad nauseum. I think people have asked us over and over. I mean, I could be at the grocery store, and, you know, I'm trying to pick up some fruit, and somebody goes, hey, what happened to Cousins? What happened to Cousins?
Yeah, that was my Sunday story this week, last week. I asked Raheem, I asked everybody. I tried to ask Kirk, but he dodged us in the locker room. Tried to ask his agent, but we couldn't get anything from that side of the story. So all we got left is his last statement was that I didn't forget how to play football. Mm-hmm. So and then he wouldn't take the injury bait, which, you know, I think he got hurt in the New Orleans game. He got his arm twisted on one of them hits. He got hit 9 times and sacked 5 times. Whether he got hurt or not, he was not the same quarterback after that game. I don't know if he started seeing ghosts. You know, if his arm was hurt, he showed up with the elbow and shoulder injury on the clerical report thing. So, you know, until they start answering some questions, you know, that's all we got on the record to deal with.
Right. I have to tell you, D-Led, I mean, it's just he was the guy stirring the drink. You know, the way the players responded to him. We played the soundbite of Bijan saying, man, this guy's legit. You know, he basically took that mantle of leadership. Ron Rivera was on with us at Army-Navy game. He says maybe he took on too much. You feel that way?
No. He's 36. He didn't take on anything more than he could handle. Man, I was vibing with him when he was out there swag surfing and whatnot. He's having a good old time. But you know, something happened on the football field. It wasn't anything other than that. But yeah, he had the place rocking. Everybody bought in 6-3. You know, started looking at who you might can beat and who you might play in the playoffs. He had him back. He had him right there on the cusp of turning this thing around.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us here on Dukes and Bell as we discuss the Falcons. Now, Terry Fontenot is going to address the media tomorrow. D., what does your gut tell you? They're not moving on from anybody? We're just staying the course?
No, they got to. Their whole buzzword this year, we know we always get the buzzwords together, right? Growth mindset. You know, everybody's got to get better, right?
So right.
They're going to say, we're going to look at everything, starting with the trash can in the corner. So I'm going to buy that this time. And we'll see if that means that they're going to fire this trash can and that trash can. Or if they, you know, I can't see they're never going to stay the course. So, but I don't know who you blame for this. You know, you could certainly, you know, the defense has got to be overhauled, whether Jimmy's part of it or not. Does Gray stay? Jay Rogers supposed to be one of the top defensive line coaches in the game. Jocass Smith's a young coach. Hate to see him get put on him with 1 year. But yeah, we're going to see some changes and. Probably here in the next couple of weeks once these all the firings get done and the staff starting to form.
There was a couple of stories out there, and I asked Coach about it. He kind of said, he's involved in everything. But did Rod get more involved with the defense in the final half of the season?
No, that he was already involved. I mean, it's Jimmy's first time calling plays. I'm sure Jimmy didn't do anything without him. So it wasn't no Richard Smith takeover like they told us about in 16. And they might have spent a little bit more time on getting those twists and stunts together up front. But I'm not privy to a takeover a la Richard Smith. And we were certainly looking forward and trying to find what little bit we could see at practice that was going down.
D, what's your evaluation on some of these cats we brought in? Judon, Simmons, guys that we looked forward to and saying that we thought they'd really help our defense. Well, what's your evaluation, not theirs, and how did you feel about some of the guys they brought in, and how much did they really help us?
Yeah, I haven't ran my numbers yet doing my end-of-season review, but my just feel is that they didn't do enough, either one of them. Certainly for a third-round pick, I needed to see at least 10 sacks.
Yes.
And some, you know, more dynamic plays. He got the one interception late. He was out there coming back from a big injury, too. So, you know, getting up there a little bit in age. If I bring him back at my number, not his. Same thing with Simmons. I saw him out of position too much for a veteran. And the fact that Jesse Bates wouldn't talk to us after the last game in the open locker room tells me that he didn't want to, you know, go off on the play of the defense and the people being out of position and so forth. That's just my surmise. Maybe at some point he will.
Wait. D, you're saying Jesse did not address the media after that game? Didn't talk to anybody?
No, he was already out. I don't know if it's his fault or the team. He was already outside with his family by the time we got to go in there. And, I mean, you got four captains. You got Jesse. Jake Matthews, Grady Jarrett, and Kirk Cousins. Okay, Kurt, I understand. He was running from us already. Grady adjusts the media, stand-up guy on Monday. Jake is always there for you. But, yeah, Jesse, we asked him. I was like, hey, Jesse, you know, he know I come to him
right
for him to explain to me what's going on defense. And on the last day in the open locker room, he declined the request respectfully, and I thanked him for the season and his work.
Right.
And so forth, and we'll just, figure this out down the road.
Because he's always been a stand-up guy with us, always, to your point, answers those tough questions. That's...
Well, I think that speaks volumes. I don't know how many people knew that. I mean, everybody's not in the locker room, number one. So only the guys in the locker room would know that. And I don't know if fans know that, but that speaks volumes to what you're saying, D, about, pointing the fingers or at least talking about the frustration and the blame.
Yeah, no doubt. We asked Judon, Josh Kendo from The Athletic said, do you want to come back? And he said, I got to go get a facial.
What?
Yeah.
We'll take that as a no.
Okay.
Well, all right.
I was like, okay. I was like, well, who's your agent? And he said, Demarius Bilbo. And then we talked about some mutual people that, I know that know him from Detroit. So yeah, that was our exit interview with Matthew Judon.
All righty then.
I got to go get a facial.
Yep. Yeah, I'm thinking I might get one. I usually don't do that. Yeah. I saw my buddy Curtis Bunn on Facebook talking about self-care and getting him a facial.
Next week, we'll cover Mandy's and Petties with D. Lett from the AJC.
Take care of yourself, man.
Hey, man. It's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter. Yeah, the defense, the secondary, man. That Minnesota thing was a travesty, giving up 44 points to Bryce Young in Carolina. Are you going to upgrade from Hughes next year? Are you going to go draft a corner? What are they going to do opposite AJ? AJ, I thought, had his best year.
Yeah, no doubt. You can never have enough cornerbacks. That's what we say in the media part when we talk to them. If you got one there at 15, you better take it. You're not gonna have a lot of money to go into free agency. Thank you, part for the Kirk Cousins deal. So you gotta either try to get the guys better here or find somebody. You gotta find a lot of teams find guys in the second, third, and fourth rounds, but. Mm-hmm. They're kind of devoid of some picks this year. You're not going to find a starter in the seventh, and you don't have a sixth. So, you got a first and a second. So, you got two players you got to be able to play for you next year. And they got, maybe one's a corner, maybe one's an edge rusher. That's what makes sense to me.
No, we were asking the coach all during preseason about the corners, and they liked what they had in the room. We kept asking about why, they did what they did. You had corners available in that second round. I mean, do you feel he's going to be able to pop and emerge? And I mean, are you banking on Braylon Trice coming off an ACL? Where's the defense getting better this offseason?
Yeah, I like Rook. What little bit I saw, he had that explosion and pop. You saw him knock people back. So, yeah, you could play with that. Braylon Trice, he was just kind of a work-hard guy at Washington. If they held it long enough, he'd get to him. So, edge setter, that'd be the – if he can get to the quarterback after setting the edge, fine. So that's two pieces. You need more. You need more at all levels. You're going to need some more stuff.
We don't have enough. That's just plain and simple. D, man, we appreciate you, your work, another great season of covering the Falcons, and thank you so much for stopping by, man.
You're welcome, Carl and Mike. Take care, and thanks for having me.
That's our man.
This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're going to come back. We got Yeah Man, No Man on the way. We'll talk about some of the stuff D-Led just mentioned to us about the Falcons. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk some college football. Playoff games, guys, Thursday and Friday as we start to figure out who's going to play for the national championship. But when we get back, Yeah Man, No Man's next. If guys are hurt, it's hard to evaluate them. But if they're playing and you get a sense of how they might play for you, then you could say, okay, that's a positive. I think that's how I feel about Rukororo. I'm with D-Led on this. He showed flashes when he was out there, but the injuries, we didn't get the full potential of what it can look like. But I also agree with D-Mike when he says, we just need more guys. We got to get a bigger defensive line.
Right, and I know that we've discussed other defensive coordinators. Look, they haven't said anything about Jimmy Lake. Maybe we'll get that tomorrow at the press conference. Maybe we won't. Maybe they'll do that later on. They're like, they're not obligated to follow our time. You know, let's be honest, all the Falcon fans, we want somebody's butt.
That's right.
You know, we're upset. We collapsed. We blew it in the offense. You know, in a game we had to win before the Bucs obviously came back and won that game against the Saints. We just gave up too many points from a bad football team. So, and we're going to see those guys next year. I mean, nice giving Bryce Young some confidence on his way out of 2024, right? We sure did.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know what Anderson's going to be. He can't stay healthy. I'm being positive. I'm giving you his glass half full on Braylon Trice. DJ said he's an energy guy. You know, he said don't expect anything out of him. So we don't have edge rush on the roster. You just don't. So other than Caden Ellis, when they choose to use him in that fashion, which I don't think they did enough of.
We didn't. Well, we did it late, right? After the bye.
When Raheem was or wasn't more involved in the defense.
All right, more on this coming up, guys. We'll talk some college football. Oh, by the way, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Turtle is here. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. The Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Turtle, what is going on today, man?
Hey, Carl.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, Carl.
Well, you sound like it.
Oh, boy. Well, you've been having a lot of fun today at my expense, haven't you?
How's that mic in there?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Doesn't work, does it?
What, our old boss cut the mics again?
I don't know.
He just got a promotion, by the way.
Who?
What? What
the
happened?
Old boss.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At his current place of occupation. There was a big write-up in it in the trades.
Oh, I didn't know that.
How about that?
It's our old boss. You know, I used to get suspended all the time. I used to argue with him and stuff. But anyway, yeah, you know.
Nice way to make it.
I don't know if you want to just drop that all out there.
I don't care. I mean, he knows it. I don't like the guy. He's the worst boss I ever had. But anyway, do continue, Chris.
Yes.
Nice way to make it about you. Multiple suspensions.
I lost 2 weeks of pay over that guy.
His fault, not mine.
Well, can I tell the fuck what you called him?
Well, it was true.
I mean, that's another whole story that, but Chris.
Again, I'm of the opinion, much like Ricky Bobby, if you say with all due respect, then you can say anything you want, which you really can't.
I don't even think you said that, by the way. I don't even think you said that. Yeah. But no, I didn't know that. I don't know what's going on. We make a reference to our old boss because he took the microphones away from the producers at one point, and we say that. Like, the button, you could turn it on, but you wouldn't hear anything.
He literally had the engineers disable the button.
They took the chip out. That you can, like, you hear us now. And so anyways, and that's why we make the reference. But Chris's mic is not working, so I've been busting his chops. Yep. All right, what's going on, man?
I think I have an answer to something that D-Led just spoke to us about in terms of Jesse Bates. Apparently, for those who missed it, he did not meet the media following the Falcons' last game or on exit day.
Right.
And they were not able to talk with one of the captains of the team.
Now, Chris, I do want to just clear this up and say, or at least lay this out as part of whatever you're going to do here. Jesse talks anytime you ask him.
Yes.
He has been forthcoming. He's a stand-up dude. And even in their worst losses, he spoke. So for him to not speak in that last game rings an alarm for me. Okay, with that said, go ahead.
This is a clip that was taken after the Washington loss when he was asked by Dave Archer how he feels after the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this team's about, man. This game hurts so bad because I know we've been through so much as a team this year, and you know people have doubted us, and I know there was no doubt we were going to just give up. And I knew we were going to have more fight. We're going to have a chance to go win that game still, and we had a chance to win it. And like I said, this team is a playoff type of team, and it sucks that we're not at that point right now. But You know, we'll be Saints fans next week and try to control what we can.
We had him on the show after we had talked to Coach Ra last week. Rob Tribble and I, Carl, when you were off, and Jesse answered all our questions because he's always been a stand-up guy. So if he's frustrated, I'm not going to call him out because I think he's been a leader on this. He has been a leader on this team, and he's won us a lot of football games.
Playmaker. He's a playmaker. He's one of the few playmakers that can change the game for you.
Right. But as D. Led said, what are you going to do? You want him to be straight? Yeah, this guy didn't do his job, and that guy didn't do his job. He's not going to say that.
Which is probably what was on his mind, right? I mean, that our secondary was a mess the last game of the season. And I forget who it was, Turtle, but maybe you remember. Maybe it was Ra who said they had communication issues in the back half. And you're like, how? It's the last week of the season. We've been practicing all year. Like, I get it. Teams do different things, but this is a division team that we know.
And this is another thing about, you know, when you said questions you asked Terry Fontenot, we spent all season, remember a preseason, about the secondary. And we were told the guys are okay. They had guys in the room they were happy with. We said, Mike Hughes? Is it Mike Hughes? And we like Mike, but I mean, D. Alford struggled at times mightily. Clark Phillips, we love his potential, but sometimes he's outmatched. And they sold us that secondary was good to go.
For me, Jesse just sounded so dejected in that soundbite.
Right.
He just sounded so down. And then you can imagine how he felt after the Panthers game.
Right.
If that was after the Washington game.
Sure.
Imagine how he felt, like you said, after the Panthers game.
Because he knows, just like the fans know, Chris, and you know, we knew the season was over after we lost to D.C.
Yeah.
There was no way the Bucs are going to lose that game.
Exactly. Let's have some fun, shall we?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Did you guys know that we have a new rapper on the scene? And he plays just down the road.
Rapper?
Rapper.
Hip-hop game?
Hip-hop game.
No, I did not know
that. And his name is Jello. And I mean LeAngelo Ball.
Oh, LeAngelo. Ah, I see what you did there.
He's got a new track out.
He does.
Oren, let's hear a little snippet of his new track that is now all the rage.
I might swerve in that corner. Whoa, whoa. Hold on tight because I'm tweaking this. And I heard that she wanna show me who she be. I'm kinda f***ing with it, show me some more. Tatted head to toe, could give a f*** a story rope. You wanna tweak it over me and I'ma show you how that go. Like the money in my pockets blow.
So I presume there's cussing that we had to drop out?
Oh, there was about 12 different things that needed to be bleeped out. And that clip was 20 seconds long, and I think I edited out about 8 or 9 different cuss words.
Hey, Bob Rathbun here. Carl, apparently there's a profanity in the LeAngelo Ball's tweaker.
So this is a single, an album? What is this?
This is a single. It's called, as Bob just pointed out, it's called Tweaker. And it is all the rage, apparently, so much so that NFL teams are playing it in their locker room when they are getting ready for the playoffs.
Really?
It's become a viral anthem.
Okay. Now, I will say this. It did have a catchy, you know, catchy little spot. I didn't hear
that,
the whole
that
thing.
That was the hook, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's catchy. But I didn't hear, I'm not really listening to the lyrics, as Mike would say. There's a lot of cuss words in that thing.
Well, I could do without the profanity. That's why I've always enjoyed the work of Will Smith.
It ain't the same without the profanity, Bob.
Stinger, you are tripping. Knuck if you buck.
Apparently Tweaker has racked up millions of views.
Okay.
And he's getting street cred. He's getting cred on this because they're playing this at NFL, as Chris just said, in pro sports locker rooms.
All right, I'll be honest with you, though. For those of you who know who Juvenile is, that sounded very juvenile, okay? The style, I'm not saying he bit his style.
So you're saying it's a homage?
Am I lying, though?
The way that sounds like a Manny Fresh track.
It does.
So the way Vanilla Ice paid homage to Queen and David Bowie.
Well, really, Kappas, but that's a whole nother story. I will say.
Collaborate and
no, no, no. See, mine goes dum, 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 dum. Mine's different.
Yeah, well, that Ice Baby is a whole nother conversation. But am I wrong? That sounds like
that sounds like a Manny Fresh. It sounds like Manny Fresh did that track.
Yeah. Anyways, that's where I'm going with it. But I had no idea that it was the rage and guys are planning and it's popping like that.
Carl Dukes accuses LeAngelo Ball of Milli Vanillying.
Let me hear it. Track. Let me hear it one more time.
Yeah.
And then put Juvenile on.
We'll contrast.
I'm swerving that corner. Whoa.
Whoa. I'm telling you. I'm not saying it's not hot. That's what it reminds me of. That's a lot of cuss words, Mike. Who knew? By the way, did we know he was? This was
his brothers released some records. I don't know if he buys them.
They've had their hands in like music, art, fashion, going all the way back to the sneaker days that ruined their son's career.
All right, all the music producers in Atlanta, y'all know who you are. Did y'all somebody do this track here? When y'all put this together?
And apparently he's been invited to perform at Rolling Loud California in March.
That's big.
Yeah. That's like the number one hip-hop festival going that's big. Right now. Yeah.
So he'll be doing that there.
This is Juvenile. For those who don't know or don't remember, or maybe you're not of a certain age.
They played this at my wedding. What are you talking about, Carl?
But things are... You know what is it, Mike? When things are old and new again.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, 20 years is basically when everything comes back around. And then the younger generation doesn't realize the other generation has ripped off the younger generation.
But his style, and we can't play it. Obviously, O couldn't find a clean version, but it sounds very similar to that, and that's one of his tracks. Right. Interesting, Chris. Okay, that's cool. That is fun though.
All right, our third and final story of the day.
By the way, we're losing street cred from KB. Says y'all can't be this late on that song.
No, dog. I'm sorry, my life has been busy.
Yeah, I just heard about it.
I apologize that I got things going on in my life.
And KB, I can't lie to you. I'm not exactly the biggest fan of the art form. I'm digging the beat, but we're sharing it with you now.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, how many
enjoy
tracks
the story,
are out there?
Y'all.
You know how many tracks are out there?
Like, stop being lame.
For real. I guess you've heard them all.
Yeah, guess you don't know about this. It's been out there. I thought it just dropped like January 3rd. Sorry, KB, you got the sneak preview. Mr. Ball.
My cousin's cousin's cousin.
I talked to my friend's cousin, and they got the
track. To me.
I mean, all right. Well, it's the first time hearing of it. What do you want from me? Yeah. And Carl's, and they just pointed out a track, and they're ripping off Juvenile.
That's what it sounds like to me. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not hot, but that's all. All right.
I think it's a club banger. I give it 5 raffles out of 5.
Especially that whoa.
Yeah, that part.
Brian Flores has been called a tyrant.
Ooh.
Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and said when he was in Miami, it was a dictatorship by the time the season came to an end.
Tua was on record last summer saying that he didn't get any confidence-building stuff from him when he was head coach. So he's old school.
So this is starting to now matriculate out that Mr. Flores may be a little too hot to handle when it comes to being a head coach. As a DC, there's walls and there's measures to this stuff that he's not going above Kevin O'Connell's head. But if he becomes your HC, are you now worried things might slide back a little bit in terms of the same reason?
I don't like this, Mike.
It's the same reason Eric Bieniemy can't get a job because he gets angry, you know? And sometimes you need to get angry, you know? Break some stuff.
Mike's familiar with these things, he lost money.
Darn right. I will say this. I would never advise anyone losing a week's pay, but sometimes if you ever had a boss that you just wanted to just totally ream out and just scream at and tell him everything you thought about him.
You did that.
It was tremendously cathartic.
You did that. But you know what? I do feel like some of this stuff is overblown. I mean, and here's the other part.
But it's a soft league. Look at McDonald's. McDonald's got guys like Tyreek Hill quitting on him.
Yes.
You know, and the Dolphins, there's other players, anonymous, going, our coach is soft. He's wrapped up like Nuka the North when we're playing up in Pittsburgh, and he looks like ends with a Y. Anyway, yeah, okay. If that's what you want, what's wrong with having a little old school? And sometimes some guys need some butts to be kicked. Is there no place for a tough-minded coach in 2025?
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, and I don't know. I don't know if Fitzpatrick has a thing against him. We don't know, Turtle. I mean, seriously.
Well, they did have that whole back and forth.
Of course they
benching
did.
Tua, benching Fitzpatrick.
I don't know. I can't. When guys hold grudges like that and I have a chance to take a shot at you, maybe I do it, maybe I don't. But at the end of the day, what I think is Brian Flores needs to be judged by the people who are going to maybe potentially hire him, interview him, see what you think for yourself. And if he's crap, he's bad, he doesn't win, fire him.
But I would say this, just for argument's sake, if the Bears were interested in Brian Flores, the Tua quote, I found it. He said that Brian Flores was a terrible person for how he treated the young quarterback and how Mike McDaniel transformed his career. So if you got a Caleb Williams, who looks like he's fragile, if we're honest, looks like he's a little thin-skinned. I don't know if maybe Flores is the guy to light the fire under that guy. Just, you know, depending on who your OC is, you need to hire an offensive-minded coach anyway in Chicago. You don't need to hire defense.
No,
on the heels of Eberflus.
I agree.
Flores said he is, quote, taking every interview that comes his way this offseason.
Well, wouldn't you?
Hell yeah.
I mean, literally 2 years ago, he was going to be blackballed. Now he's got a chance to be a coach again.
Right.
I'm taking every interview I can as well. I don't know if anybody hires him, but I hope they don't go off of that. Because, again, when you have a quarterback who thinks he should be playing and he's getting benched, to your point, and put back in, and that organization was a mess. And, by the way, I know he caught the blame of it, but Mike has talked about this a lot. The ownership in Miami.
It's a train wreck.
Come on.
Yeah,
I know.
There's a lot of other things that Brian, but I thought that Brian Flores just like this. He has a lawsuit with the NFL. I thought it was winding down, but the guy's still a great coach, and he gets the job done, period.
I know Orin is a dictator. I also know he's going to hit my music.
See, now this is some rap music we can all enjoy. When I'm heading down to State Farm Arena, Bob rapping, this is what I groove out to, Carl. This is something we can all snap our fingers to.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, Stinger?
It's clean. You're right, Bob.
You are tripping.
Court says that song definitely sounds like Big Timers or Juvenile. I agree. That's where I'm at. Court, appreciate you. Also, now my black fraternity folks are hitting me up saying, yo, it's Alphas, not the Kappas. Whatever.
Uh-oh.
We can have that conversation.
Ruh-roh.
We can have that conversation. But I appreciate you. Kia, thank you for reaching out. And also, another guy hit us up and he said, Lonzo wrote that song. So, I don't know. Either way, interesting. All right, we got a lot more to get to, guys. We're going to come back. College football, what's going to happen in these games, and who's going to the national championship, and the latest on the Dogs and the transfer portal next.